Might it please God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let's turn to the second book of the Chronicles, chapter 20, and we'll read verse 17. The second book of the Chronicles, chapter 20, and reading verse 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. As we read such an account as this, we know the result. And we know, of course, there was a wonderful victory. And we know that the Lord gloriously appeared for Judah and the residents of Jerusalem. But we should recognize that, of course, when there was the appearance of these Moabites and the Ammonites, coming to battle with Jehoshaphat, he knew not what the outcome would be. And it appeared a very difficult situation, a very difficult scene. But we should be very thankful that we have in the Word of God an example of how we should behave ourselves. Now, we should not always anticipate that the result will be the same as it was here in the case of Jehoshaphat. It may be, but nonetheless we have a good example on how to behave ourselves, because Jehoshaphat feared, and what did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He didn't to begin to think how the battle should be fought. No, he turned first of all to the Lord. And that should be a wonderful example for us today. In whatever scene we find ourselves, whatever battle there may appear to be before us, as there may be enemies rising up against us, and we may be tempted to try and plan a solution. Well, behold what Jehoshaphat did. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. That means everyone was involved in this situation. And so, how important it is to realize that you and I today, faced with any difficulty, are to immediately come and to seek the Lord. And therefore, we're told Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It must have been a wonderful situation, mustn't it? See, all those people coming together with the one object of seeking the Lord and seeking for his direction, his guidance, and his blessing. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And what did he do? He prayed to God. And the people were there, young and old, to hear his prayer. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built the sanctuary therein for thy name, saying. And it's good, you see, because what does he do? he refers to the time when the tabernacle was erected and God was with them, and then perhaps when the temple was erected and God was with them, and how there were those prayers put up. And those prayers really came like this: if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before the house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. It's a good thing to be able to come to God and to remind God graciously and humbly of his promises. Sometimes we forget the promises of God, perhaps to ourselves, and also recorded in the Word of God. But those promises are there to be pleaded. And you and I should come and plead the promises of God, that he will indeed hear. And having pleaded that, Jehoshaphat then points out the problem. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. He's almost chiding God that they weren't allowed to actually fight them then, and now they've risen up against us. But he says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And that's a very safe thing to do, to come looking to the Lord. And it's wonderful to read that it wasn't just Joshua, we read, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children. You see, the little ones, the babies, the small ones, were not exempt. They weren't said, well, you're not old enough, you better stay in your tent at home. They all came together. And it's a good directive to us, isn't it, to remember that all should come before the Lord and to worship Almighty God. And then you see, the Lord had a wonderful way to deliver. And God's ways are higher than our ways. And be sure of this, when God appears, when God delivers, he will get honour and glory to himself. And quite clearly, this is what happened on this occasion. A very remarkable deliverance. A deliverance that Jehoshaphat, no doubt, and all the people could not have imagined. And yet it was a wonderful deliverance. And the blessing was, what had they been blessed with? Faith in God. Faith in God. My friends, may you and I have faith in God. I want to just go through this at the moment just in a natural way, and I want to then return to it in a spiritual way. But let's just continue the natural way for a moment. Because then there was this man, a Levite, Jahaziel, who was raised up to prophesy and to speak of those things which would occur. And we read what he said: hearken ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Well, what that was encouraging, wasn't it? And you see, that should be encouraging to us, to realise that the battles that you and I perhaps have to face, and we may be tempted to get engaged ourselves and to try and deliver ourselves by our own logic and our own skill. Well, let us come like this to our God. And so here we have Jahaziel saying, hearken ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. And really that's always the case. It's always the case. It's a good job when we do understand it as such. When we leave off trying to solve the problems ourselves. You know, we can worry ourselves sick sometimes. We're trying to solve the problem. Rather than committing it to the Lord and believing that he will appear. Quite clearly, that's how Jehoshaphat came. He said he didn't know what to do. And he committed it to God. It's good when we do that, isn't it? We come honestly before our God and say, I don't know what to do, Lord. What shall I do? And then you see, the Lord appeared. He'd given up hope in himself. He'd given up hope in his own wisdom. And he was the king and he was a clever man. We see him now dispensing with that and coming to God. And so then this direction is given. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And then the 17th verse, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Really? How can that be? We won't need a fight. We've never had a battle where we've never fought. That's what the prophet said. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Well, it's good, you see, when we are blessed with faith to follow the Lord's direction. Here was the direction of God to these people. And did they say, well, that's ridiculous, man. We're not going to do that. How can that happen? Well, the word of the Lord came in this way when he said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. What a blessing then to have such a God. Set yourselves. You see, they were to set themselves, they were to get their armour on, get their swords ready, but then they were to stand still. They were to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Not a natural thing, was it, to do? In battle to come, get yourself equipped, and then stand still? It was the direction of God. It was what he would do. And we may ask the question, why should it fall out like this? Well, very clearly, that the battle was to be the Lord's. He was to gain the victory. And there was to be no ability of man in it at all. The Lord was to get all the honour and all the glory. And it was a complete victory. It's when the Lord fights for us. When the battle is the Lord's, it doesn't fail. And so we see these words. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. They were able to look on. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when we can look on. You may remember it was so in the Judges, when Manoah and his wife, you see, what do? The Lord did wondrously, and they just looked on. They just looked on. It's good when we're able to just look on and see God and his great and glorious work. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. And then he concludes and says, fear not, nor be dismayed. To encourage them again. Fear not and be not dismayed. Yes, because God was indeed with them. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. What confidence there was. There was the word of the Lord. Now you might think, now Jehoshaphat, what's your reaction? What are the people going to do? What are they going to say to such a strange view and such a strange command as this? Are they going to object? You know, there were many occasions in the Word of God when people have disobeyed the Lord, when they've gone in their own strength and they've failed, haven't they? But here the people were before the Lord. And what did Jehoshaphat do? He bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. What a wonderful scene that must have been. What were they? They were totally submissive to the Lord God. It's a good example, isn't it, for us today? To realise and to be blessed with submission to the will of God, even when it may seem naturally a ridiculous stance to take. And yet, you see, God was with them, and they had grace to hear and to obey the word of God. How wonderful it is when God gives us grace and strength and will to obey the voice of God. And not to lean to our own understanding. It's very easy for us to lean to our own understanding. But that wasn't to be so. They were to do the will of God, and they quite clearly concurred and agreed with it. Starting with Jehoshaphat, the king himself, that great warrior. Here he was then now, told to stand still. He bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping him. And then it's very interesting to see what followed. What directions were then given? And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. God had given directions, strange directions. And did they turn and say, well, we're not sure about this, and we'll just wait and see, we'll see what develops? No. They praise the Lord with a loud voice on high for the position that they'd been instructed in. They didn't doubt it, did they? How sad it is today. We so often doubt our God. And then we are surprised when things don't come to pass, because we doubt what God has said. Well, these Judah and men of Jerusalem, they didn't doubt the word of God, and they therefore stood up to praise the Lord with a loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. What gracious words they were, and how necessary they were, and they are to us today, my friends. 2. Believe in the Lord your God. Surely we suffer very often from that great sin of unbelief, one of the cardinal sins. The sin of unbelief. Well, here Jehoshaphat encourages them and says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall he be established. Believe his prophets, so shall he prosper. It's common sense, isn't it? And yet you see the devil turns us away. Now, this wasn't rash. This wasn't blind faith. This was living faith, believing the word of God. What a mercy it is if God gives us that faith to believe the word of God. And when he had consulted with his people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness, the things of God. So they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. No clearer confidence in God than that, was there? testifying of the greatness of God, bringing honour and glory to God. And that surely is the, must be and should be, the great desire of each one of us, to praise the Lord and to bring honour to his name and to have that confidence in him. And so this is exactly what these Israelites did. They praised the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir. And of course we know that they then fought among themselves, and they were completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. The Lord gained a great victory. Jehoshaphat and the army had nothing to do, just to praise the Lord and to praise him for all that he had done. Well, it's a wonderful testimony, my friends, for us today. We may think, well, of course, we're not physically fighting the Amorites and the Moabites, but nonetheless, there are those situations in our lives when there are those battles to fight, when the enemy rises up and we tend to try and work things out by ourselves instead of having and following the gracious example of the Word of God. To come, seek the face of our God, individually and collectively, adjoining together. What a mercy it is when the Church of God joins together. There's a problem, there's a difficulty, there's an enemy. And they come and they pray to the Lord God Almighty. Well, it's a blessing, you know, if we are able to do that. And then, thinking of that in a spiritual sense, we do have enemies rise up to fill us with dismay. The great enemy of our souls, the devil, who rises up to turn us away from the true God. His great aim is to distress us to such an extent that we turn to ourselves. But I often think, you see, the devil goes so far and then he oversteps himself. Because what he does, he brings the people of God to then come and to turn away from the refuge of lies and to turn to the Lord themselves. In all their trouble, in all their trials, in all their sinful situation, as they may think there's no way of deliverance, they feel to be overwhelmed by the enemy. The waves and the billows have gone over their head and they seem overwhelmed. Well, what a blessing it is when then we look to the Lord. We look to the Lord for help. We look to the Lord for strength. We look to the Lord for deliverance. And you see, in that situation, what does it mean? It means we have to give up all desire or effects of helping ourselves. We have to realize, just like Paul did, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We may have tried, we may have looked, we may have endeavoured, and we failed. What a blessing then when the Spirit of God may have come upon us. And what have we done? We've committed ourselves unto the Lord. And it may be we've come down to just the words like Jehoshaphat said, when he said, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. We're fearful of being overrun by the devil, put to confusion. Well, Jehoshaphat said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. That's a very safe place when we seem to be overcome and overwhelmed. Look unto me. Look unto the Lord. Don't look to yourself. Look to the Lord Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to your own ability. Look out of yourselves completely, trusting in the Lord that he will come and that he will deliver. And then you see to be blessed with this wonderful deliverance, just like Israel were here. When they were then instructed, what were they to do? They were not to be afraid, nor be dismayed. We perhaps are afraid. We may be dismayed because we're looking to our own abilities, our own strength, and we see hosts of enemies rising up to fill us with dismay. Yet remember, we have a God who can appear, a God who can destroy the enemy, indeed a God who has destroyed the enemy. The truth is, as Israel didn't have to fight in this battle, so, my friends, it is to the blessed Church of God. We do not have to fight in the battle. We stand and we look and we observe what has been done. The Lord Jesus Christ has fought for us. And my friends, he's overcome. And the evil one's been defeated. And you see, the great blessing is, as these Moabites and Ammonites, they fought them against themselves. So often it is, the devil then, as it were, fights against himself. And we find that we have been upon the winning side, not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done. And that, of course, then is a wonderful deliverance. We stand still. We stand still. Just like we are told here, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. What a blessing when that is so in our spiritual life, when we are given grace to stand still and see the salvation of our souls. What does it mean? It means that we look to Jesus Christ. We stand still, as it were, with our eyes upon him. And there we see the Lord fighting for us, met great battle, and conquered, a great conqueror, a total defeat of Satan, never more to be able to overcome. What a blessing it is then, if you and I are blessed with that faith, like these Israelites were. They were blessed with living faith, and we today, in our spiritual life, need living faith to stand still and to see the salvation of the Lord. And that means what it says. We will see the salvation of our souls. We will observe what Christ has done to deliver us from the wrath to come to save our souls. We will see the wonder of it, that Lord Jesus Christ so willingly came into this world to suffer in our place, to fight the battle for us. We weren't able to. Perhaps it took a long time to learn that lesson. Perhaps we're often reliant on ourselves. Look to Jesus, firm and strong. Oh, my friends, he'll never fail. And he has conquered. And as you and I stand at the foot of the cross, by faith, viewing the Saviour, dying for us, and gaining that great and glorious victory, you know, what does it produce? Song in our hearts. I hope it does. Praise to our God for the victory that was gained. We had no need to fight in this battle. The Lord shall fight for you. What a mercy when God has shown that to us, so that we indeed then stand more than conquerors through him. and all the praise and all the honour goes to Almighty God. And surely we can join with the song that was put up by these Israelites when they were told, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of holiness. Well, it is, my friends, a glorious view, isn't it? The beauty of holiness, to observe the wonderful Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, dying for us. It's a wonderful scene to the needy sinner. And so, they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. What is that? Surely it must be the song of the redeemed. Surely it must be the song of the church of God, as they've stood still and seen the Lord gain the victory on their behalf. They haven't had to fight. God has appeared. God has produced a victory. And therefore, from the heart comes this word, this song, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Is that true? And it is true. May we know it, and may we praise God for it, and be thankful, therefore, that we have been able to observe the victory that Christ has won. When you think that you and I have been passive in that great fight, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Yes, to see the Lord has fought for us, and he has gained the victory. And it's a glorious victory. And it's a victory which will never be gainsaid, will never be beaten, because, my friends, when the victory Jesus won is a complete victory. And so tonight, may we be able to rejoice in it. May we be able to praise God as he may give us that grace to hear his word and to be blessed with that standing still and to see the salvation of the Lord. Yes, to see what it means, how it's been done for you, how it's been done for me, because it is a very personal battle. It's a very wonderful battle, a battle for the whole church of God, and also individually for you and me. My friends, tonight, may we rejoice in what Christ has done. And let us recognize the enormous cost of our salvation. And to realize what an enormous debt we owe. A debt you and I will never be able to repay. Especially when you think we didn't have to fight. The Lord fought for us. And he gained the victory, but the victory cost him his life. He bore the punishment instead of us. Do we not come tonight and say, what a Saviour. What a Saviour. That looked upon such an unworthy sinner of the earth. A black sinner. A vile sinner. And yet one the Lord died to redeem, died to save, so that by his grace one day we shall be united in glory around that throne of God in heaven, singing that new song, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to all eternity. Praise God. Amen.